Amen. Thank you, Jesus. How many people are really glad to be in church on this first Sunday of the year? Hey, tomorrow is fasting. Somebody say fasting. Tomorrow we begin 21 days of fasting and prayer. It's about to get good. Amen. I went out to an Italian restaurant with my good friend Bobby Anello yesterday, and we just stuffed ourselves in preparation for fasting. We were like these bears that are getting ready to go into hibernation for the next 21 days. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But today we're also beginning a brand new message titled Visions and Goals. Somebody shout Visions and Goals. One more time, Visions and Goals. Impact, I really believe God has something special in store for us in 2019. I believe this with every fiber of my being. I can already feel it. A few nights ago, I couldn't even go to bed. This has never happened to me before. God began to show me all the things that He's bringing in 2019, and my brain couldn't even sleep. God has something amazing in store for you. Come on, smack two or three people and just tell them, God has something amazing in store for you in 2019. Somebody shouted with every fiber of your being, this is going to be a great year for me. This is going to be a great one for me. I declare that 2019 is my year. One more time. I declare that 2019 is my year. Come on, there's a tsunami of God's blessing. A little hesitation there. There's a tsunami of God's blessing coming my way in 2019. Now clap your hands like you believe it. Hallelujah. So this is a four-part message series titled Visions and Goals, and today we're talking about passions, passions, passions. Somebody say that with me, passions. And next week we're going to talk about encounters, encounters, encounters. Let's say that together. Amen. Do you know that Moses was born to be a deliverer, but he lost his vision until the burning bush encounter? There's something about an encounter that will change you in a moment. There's something about an encounter with God that can teach you stuff in a moment that no college professor can teach you in a gazillion years. You just know that something happened to me. Something happened. You had a defining moment and something happened. You'd never be the same again. We're believing God for an encounter next week. Amen. Third Sunday, we're going to talk about process, process, process. This is the most difficult stage in the life of every visionary because God shows you the vision, but He never shows you the process. And this is where most people crumble. This is where most people get discouraged. And I declare in the name of Jesus, and I prophesy over you that in 2019, you're not giving up on your process because God's going to give you the strength to go through all the way. If you receive that, somebody say amen. I'm going to teach you the principles of process. How do you maneuver through a process? And then on the fourth week, we're talking about anointings, 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 or anointing, anointing, anointing. I believe that a vision without an anointing, or a vision without the anointing and the empowerment of God, is the very definition of frustration. Many people have visions, but they don't have the empowerment. What's an anointing? The anointing is to be equipped and to be empowered by God. And on that fourth Sunday, I'm going to try to anoint as many people as God would allow us in Jesus' name. And I believe that God is going to bless you this year because of His anointing. Amen. But today, let's talk about passions, passions, passions as we lay the foundation. And I've lost some time already here, but I'm so glad because we got to worship. Amen. So y'all pray for me so God can give me the grace to cover this in less time. Amen. But this is His service anyway. Years ago, I went to minister at a church somewhere in New Hampshire. And Anthony, it was one of those Sundays where God just moved powerfully. I mean, the prophetic word was just accurate. so accurate. Healings and miracles. Just one of those powerful days in ministry. And after that day, after we ministered together, I went there with my family, with my wife. We love to travel together. We have one of those minivans, yo. That was one of my dreams in life, to grow up, get married, have lots of kids, and drive around in a minivan listening to VeggieTales. Broccoli, celery, garlic, VeggieTales. VeggieTales. It's time for VeggieTales. It's the best. I'm living my dream. I'm living the time of my life. It's amazing. But after ministering and coming back with my family, we stopped at Stop and Shop. I got it, yo. I used to say Shop and Stop, Stop and Shop. We stopped at Stop and Shop. I had to practice that like 15 times. And it was one of those, what we call rotisserie chicken days at the Matoga House. Simply means we've been so busy, we've been doing so much ministry, and there's just no time to cook. So we stop by Stop and Shop, pick up a rotisserie chicken with some salad, go home, eat, and crash. And mind you, I just come back from ministering so mightily, so powerfully. One of those days, my own wife looked at me and said, "What is that? How does God use you that powerfully? How do you prophesy like that? How do you know all their business and all that stuff?" I said, "Honey, that's God. I saw my father do it, and I'm walking in it." And I said, "That's God." But when we went to Stop and Shop, there was this truck driver that got on my nerve in the parking lot. Right after ministering, Pastor Juan. And I literally almost got into a fight with this guy. And my wife, somebody just said, "Oh my God, this is real." And then my wife was so disappointed with me, Nate. She said, "How can you minister so powerfully, so amazingly, and then you come here and you're about to fight with a truck driver?" And she says to me, "What is that?" Oh my God, that hit me hard. I pretended to go to the bathroom like I wanted to use the bathroom, and I just sat there and I talked to God. I said, "God, yes, what was that? How can I minister so powerfully in one moment and then act like such a heathen in the next?" And God said this to me. He said, "Zenzo, you have developed the anointing of ministry upon your life more than you've developed the anointing for salvation in your life." God said, "Zenzo, you've developed the anointing that's upon your life for ministry more than you've developed the anointing that's in your life for your personal salvation." And God said to me, "The anointing you're using for preaching and ministering cannot help you stay out of sin." I salute you, Pastor Dave and Jennifer. I just saw you. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Those are pillars in the house. The anointing that you have for ministry was never designed to help you stand. The anointing that's upon you, Zenzo, is to preach, to sing, and to write songs. But it's the anointing that's in you that's supposed to help you be a better father, tell the truth, be a righteous person, do the right thing. Those are two different anointings. Can we begin this year like this? Lucas, come help me. Come help me. Yeah, bring the stuff. Bring the stuff. Thank you, Jesus. Whose jacket is that? Jillian, is that yours? Pastor Juan, please come help me. Lucas, stay there. Let's borrow your jacket, Jillian. I can't put this on. No. Now, Pastor Juan, just put that on top of you. There we go. Now, there's an anointing that God puts upon you, and that anointing is for ministry. Somebody say, "The anointing upon me." There's an anointing that's upon you, and then there's an anointing that's in you. Two different kinds of anointings. That's why when Elisha was pursuing Elijah, and Elijah was going up to heaven, he dropped a mantle, and it was like a blanket. Because that mantle was for ministry, but it wasn't for Elisha to stand. Now, Elisha could have thought that that mantle is supposed to help him stand, when that mantle is only to prophesy. The anointing for ministry upon you is different from the anointing in you. Somebody say amen. Thank you, Pastor Juan. Come on, let's appreciate him. Please write this down. There's a difference between the anointing upon you versus the anointing in you. There's a difference between the anointing upon you versus the anointing in you. Please write this down also. The anointing upon you is for ministry, but the anointing in you is for your salvation. The anointing upon you is for ministry, but the anointing in you is for your salvation. Pastor, where's the Bible for it? I'm glad you asked. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says what? For you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come where? Somebody shout it. You shall receive power. That's an anointing. Dunamis. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be what? My witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and into the end of the world. The anointing that's upon you is for you to be a witness. The anointing that's upon you is for you to do ministry. And then there's an anointing that's in you. Let's go to John chapter 14, verse 16 to 17. And I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you. Anybody needs some help to stand in this place? Anybody needs some help to look at the right stuff? It says, and I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him because he lives with you and will be, somebody shouted, will be in you. That Holy Spirit in you is to help you stand. So there's an anointing that I use on this stage. There's an anointing that comes on this stage when I preach. But I can't rely on this anointing when I go back home to be a husband to this amazing young lady. I need to develop my anointing as a husband, my anointing as a father. And there are many people who've never developed the anointing in them, and they think they're anointed because they've developed the anointing upon them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Please write this down. The anointing for ministry that is upon your life is irreversible and irrevocable. But the anointing that's in you, you can lose it. You can lose the anointing in you if you don't maintain it. The anointing that's upon you for ministry is irrevocable. You don't lose it. It's irreversible. Where's the Bible for that? I'm glad you asked. Romans chapter 11, verse 29. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Somebody say irrevocable. The anointing on your life for ministry, you never lose. Hallelujah. That's why the American music industry was built by a lot of kids that grew up in church. Did you know that? They still have the anointing. Now, you can choose who you want to minister to or sing for. I'm not talking about audience, but in your heart, are you ministering to God? The anointing that's upon you, the anointing that's upon you is irreversible. I can write songs. I can come here and preach. That's why that day I was able to move mightily, and then I went home and was almost fighting with a guy in the parking lot. But the anointing in you, you have to develop. You can lose it. The Bible says in Psalm, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14, it says, now the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul, and the Lord sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with depression and fear. Now, Saul had the anointing to be a king. He remained as king. That's the anointing upon him. But the Bible said he lost the Spirit of God, and that was the spirit that was in him. And he found himself in trouble. Philippians chapter 2 verse 12 says, therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The anointing inside of you has to be worked out with fear and trembling. You have to work it. You have to work it out. Bible says in Matthew 26:31, it says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The anointing inside of you, you have to watch it. You have to pray. You have to protect it. You have to protect it. Now, I want to show you guys something. Lucas, come help me. Thank you, Jesus. We've got a few things here. Now, I showed you with Pastor Juan the anointing upon you. Now, I want to show you the anointing in you. Please pour some water in here, Lucas. This is the anointing. When you worship, when you praise God, when you pray, when you take part in 21 days of fasting and prayer, come on, somebody. This is what happens. God is filling you up. How many people want to be filled? The reason God is filling you up is because he wants to feed you to a dying generation. Anthony, please come up here. You are a preacher of the gospel and you trust me. Please drink that water. No, just a little bit. Anthony, do you feel refreshed? Yeah. You do. Okay, can we appreciate Anthony? Thank you. God has called us to refresh a generation. People don't drink what you say. People drink of who you are. I can come here and preach. The truth is, people are going to drink of who I am, not what I say. Years ago, when my wife and I, God was speaking to us about starting the church, we were having issues in our marriage, and she said to me, I am not starting this church with you until we figure this marriage out. And I said to her, and we are not starting this church until we become healthy people, because I want to see a church of healthy people. Because I recognize I can come here and stand and teach you stuff, but you're going to drink of who we are, not what we say. Your children are drinking of who you are, not what you say. What's in your heart? Is there contamination in your heart? I want to give you, Lucas, please stay there. I want to give you five things very quickly that contaminate your water. That contaminate you. Number one, unconfessed sin. Number two, the cares of life. Number three, pride. Number four, offense. Number five, the wrong associations. Now, we all fall short against the glory of God and we fall in sin. I probably sinned this week. I know that's going to surprise somebody, but that's the truth. But here's the difference. I confess every sin and I ask God to forgive me. The problem is when you know that you have a sin in your life, something you're not supposed to do, you keep doing it over and over and over. Thank you, Jesus. I'm amazed at how many people are in the kingdom of God today, not married, living together, and they just do that like it's casual. Can I preach something in this place? That is unconfessed sin. That is poking holes into your anointing. Hallelujah. And I'm amazed by how many people are in church, bought the song, bought the t-shirt, but still living with offenses. Can your children drink of who you are? Somebody say amen. Now here's what happens with most people. Lucas, please pour that water in here. This is what's happening with most people. Offense, unconfessed sin, and pride. Anthony, please drink this water. Anthony, please give this water to your family to drink. And there's nothing. Thank you, Nate. And so at the beginning of 2019, we're all shouting, God, use me for your glory. Give me a vision that will change the world. And people are shouting in churches today, 2019, the year of da-da-da, 2019, the year. It's all good and stuff. I do it too. But do you have something to give the world, or are you depleted? Let's begin the year right here today. Hallelujah. And here's something else that's amazing. Some of us have this water. Anthony, hold the water again. This is the good water. You have it. There are people who have it, but just a small little contamination. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart. Just one little drop. Just one little drop. Watch what's happening to this water. Let's keep this thing here as we continue preaching. Let's just keep that there. Thank you, Lucas. Come on, let's appreciate Lucas. That is what I call contamination. Somebody say amen. Now, let's close this thing down. Linton, you can come. Please write this down. When you lose the anointing in your heart, it affects your hunger for God and it changes your passions. When you lose the anointing in your heart, I'm not talking about the anointing upon you, because that you're going to keep forever. But when you lose the anointing in your heart, and here's the thing, it's so tough, you can lose the anointing in you without even knowing it. Because the anointing upon you can fool you to think you still got it. You can lose the anointing upon in you, not upon you, but in you without even knowing it. Samson, how do you go out and fight for God, fight for the nation, and then after that go and fornicate with Delilah? Because he developed the anointing upon him, not the one in him. When you lose the anointing in you, your hunger for God is affected. The first thing that happens when you're sick physically is that you lose your appetite. The first thing that happens when you're sick spiritually is that you lose your hunger for God. Amen. And then you wonder why it's so tough to read his word. And then your passions change. It's tough to read God's word. It's tough to fast and pray. It's difficult to honor God with 10%. Can we preach in the house of God? Because you developed the anointing upon you, but you lost the anointing in you. And when you lose the anointing in you, it affects your hunger for God. It affects your passions. And listen to me, when your passions are affected, your vision is affected. Please don't create visions today based on a passion that is compromised, because that vision is already off to a wrong start. And I see many people in the house of God that are frustrated because God has not helped them with their vision. Mad at God. Let me tell you this, God never made a promise to help you with your selfish ambitions and ungodly passions. God can never endorse that vision. He can never back up that mission. He never will. So today, as we begin this year, as we talk about visions and goals, I pray that our visions and goals are emanating from a place of falling in love with Jesus again, so he can regulate our passions, so we can get our anointing back, so that our visions are ones that God himself is supporting. Somebody say amen. Now look at this here. I put in one little drop. Look at how red that thing is. Hallelujah. Let's just say that what I put in here was poison and it's contaminated. Zenzo, come here. This is my boy. No, stand. No, 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 no. Don't come to the pulpit yet. It's not your time, son. Just come right here. You stay down there. Now, what kind of father would I be if I took this and there's poison in here and asked my son to drink? What kind of man would I be, Anthony, if I took this and try to feed this to the world? Could it be that the reason why God is resisting your vision is because it's contaminated? Because God in his righteousness and holiness can never serve who you are to the world. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give him praise in this place. Jesus. Jesus. He can't take this in his righteousness and feed it to the next generation. You can go, Zenzo. And feed it to a world. So my question for you this morning as we begin this, are you trying to feed the world something that has been concocted by your selfish ambitions and you're claiming that it's God just because you want to attach God to what you're doing? Or is it God doing it and you're attaching yourself to what God is doing? Because if it's just your ambition, out of your brokenness, out of your selfishness, out of your insecurities, out of your fear, and out of your ambition to be known, God will never attach himself to it. And can I tell you as a pastor, it's a difficult, it's a hard place to be when God removes his endorsement, because what you have is more dangerous to the world than a blessing. So right here, right now, let's stand in his presence. Linton, lift up the strings, good old strings. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I feel the presence of Jehovah in this room. Let's run to Jesus. Let's repent. It's time to run back to the cross of Jesus. Jesus, I'll give you my everything. Believers, I want to encourage you to take part in this 21 days of fasting and prayer, because this is how you beat your body into submission and say, Jesus, I surrender to you. It's not about me. It's all about you. I want you to make a commitment in 2019. You will honor God with every 10% of everything he gives you, because you're making a declaration that, Jesus, you're more important to me than anything else in my heart. Because where your treasure is, your heart is there also. It's not a money issue, it's a heart issue. Let's cry. Let's lift up our hands. I ask you.